Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. Oh man, aren't we glad that God has rescued us out of the probably the valleys, plural, of despair. All right, if you've got your Bibles this morning, go ahead and find Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to journey into Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. It's good to be here. I'm excited about preaching this passage of Scripture this morning, although you got to come back next week because you got to get the second half to it as well, because we're going to go in the valley of despair today, and then we'll come out of it next week. So you got to come back. You got to be here next Sunday as well to get the second half. All right, before we get started this morning, let's go over our memory verse for this month. We got this Sunday and next Sunday on this verse, then we'll move as we move into October. Oh, man, it's hard to imagine. October's here. Y'all know somebody in this church has a very important birthday in October. Did y'all know that coming up? Y'all don't know who it is? Holly's turning 40 this year. So she's got an awesome, I'm probably going to get it later. But anyway, she's got an awesome, man, great birthday coming. You're welcome. I just love, you know, I want everybody to be praying for me, you know, for you, right? No. Anyway, hey, let's read it. Yeah, we might need a mediator, Miss Jackie. Hey, let's read our verse this morning. All right, Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:13. All right, this morning, just to kind of recap where we've been to get us to where we're at today, over the last several weeks as we've been journeying through Ephesians chapter 1, what we've realized is that God, the creator of the universe, has blessed all of us as His followers with innumerable blessings, but Paul lists several that He's blessed us with. He's chosen us in Christ. He's predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters into His family, into His kingdom. He's redeemed us by the blood of Christ. He has given us an inheritance, and He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit as a promise that we will get the inheritance one day. Right? And last week we saw that when all of those things that describe who we are applied into our life on a daily basis, then God grants us the ability to have the wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him that plays itself out in everyday life so that we see with spiritual eyes, not earthly eyes. Right? That's who we are applied in our life. Today, we're going to see where we were and who we were before those blessings came into our life, all right? So we're going to go down into the valley, to the dismal parts of our life, but I promise we'll end on a good spot. And so what I want to do is we're going to read these three verses. We're only going to look at the first three verses, and I want to give you three ideas that come out of these three verses. Basically, they come out of each phrase in this passage. And so we got 3 points. We'll kind of wrap it up into one main idea, and I want to give you a couple application ideas before we leave here. All right, so let's read. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. All right, so we're going to come back through, and I want to give you three ideas. If you've got your bulletin this morning, it's got your outline in it. Here's your three ideas we're going to look at. If you're taking notes, number one, we're going to see that we were dead people walking. Number two, there is an evil force at work. And number three, there were definitive signs of evil working in us. So let's go back to verse number one. And you were dead, here's the phrase, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you walked. All right. So as I read this passage this week, there were three words that jumped out at me out of this first little phrase, right? And I want to give them to you this morning. The first one was you. You. You see there? It says, and you were dead in the or your trespasses and sins. Now you say, why is that interesting? Because let's be honest, culture today would not have phrased it this way. If culture were writing this verse today, on one hand, some people would say, fake news. It's fake news. Don't listen to it. You're not really dead. Or if they would have actually wrote the word, if someone from today's cultural position of a worldly position would have wrote this verse, they would have said, you're mostly dead. You're mostly dead. You're not really dead. Or if we're really honest, and what we would really say, or culture would really say is, you know what, if you want to be dead, you can be dead. But if you don't want to be dead, you don't have to be dead. Because really, ultimate reality is up to whoever's deciding what reality is. So if you want to be dead, that's fine. I'm not going to say you are. But if you say you are, then I'll say you are. But if you don't want me to say you are, then I won't say you are. Because really, deadness is in the eye of the one who's determining their own deadness. I mean, it's funny, right? But is that not reality? Reality? It's pluralistic. It's if you, Miss Cindy, if you want to be dead, that's fine. But if Holly doesn't want to be, that's you know, she don't have to be, because reality is determined by the person who is determining it, which sounds illogical. That's cause it is. But that's where our culture is, right? So you know why this works off, this jumps off the page? It's not only because this isn't what we would have written, but there's another narrative that's kind of weaving and bobbing through our society that says they would have wrote this differently in a completely different vein. They would have said, it's not your sins, it's the collective sins of your people. Or the collective sins of which the group you belong to or don't belong to. But Paul doesn't say any of that. He doesn't say you're mostly dead. He doesn't say it's fake news that you're dead. And he doesn't say you determine the level of your deadness. Nor does he say it's your parents' fault that you're dead. Jesus himself talked about this when he met a guy. I believe he was afflicted. I want to say he was blind from birth. And his disciples are walking along with him, and they ask Jesus this question: Jesus, whose fault is it this man is blind? Was it his parents or his own? And what does Jesus say? He's blind so that the glory of God might be shown through him. And then Jesus heals him. Paul doesn't say it's because of your parents' sins you're dead. He could have. He didn't. He doesn't say it's because your ancestors' sins that you're dead right now. He could have, but he didn't. He doesn't say because of the group that you belong to, because they've collectively done sins, that you're dead. He could have legitimately said any of those things. He says none of them. And he says, your sins. And here's what I love. I've talked a little bit about this throughout this. I've kind of given you a little smattering of the Greek language. Here's the beautiful thing about the Greek language. In every one of these verbs, in every Greek is a reflexive language. What that means is the subject is inherent in the verb. So when Paul wrote this, the verb were dead, were, the subject is already in there. The you is already in the word. So the fact that he says you were, he's telling you and me, you really did. Like, no, there's no you. I'm not talking about anybody else but you who were reading it. Here's the other word that jumps off the page at me. Dead. Dead, right? Because he doesn't say we're mostly. He doesn't say any of those things we just talked about, but he says you're dead. This is an interesting word because it's the same word that Jesus himself uses in Mark chapter 11, verse 27 to tell the Sadducees that their opinion of God is wrong, because Jesus says, you're wrong. God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. It's the same dead that the angels tell the women as they arrive at the tomb in Matthew 28, verse 7, when they tell him he is risen from the dead. It's also the same dead that Paul uses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, I think, where he says that when Jesus returns, the dead in Christ will rise first. So not only is he speaking to every one of us in here this morning, but he is claiming that we are dead. Now, not physically. He's speaking of the spiritual nature of our hearts and lives, that which is on the inside of us. And it's not mostly, it's not kind of, it's completely dead, like dead, stone cold in the grave. And then the other phrase that is very interesting to me is actually at the beginning of chapter 2, in which you once walked. When I was a seminary student in Greek class, I learned that word walked. I always translate it as walking around. Literally, the verb means to go forward and backwards, to go up and down. So what is Paul saying? You were a dead man or woman walking around and you didn't even know it. Everything in your life was bringing death. One of my pastor friends, one of my youth pastors, he said we were death breathers. Everything that came out of our mouth, every action that we did was encompassed by this idea of death, and we were walking around in it and walking around in it and walking around in it and walking around in it. I saw a sobering image of this several years ago. I was watching one of these crazy shows that you can find on TV that was people, it was locked up abroad, like people who were in prison out of the country. There were American citizens who got thrown in prison somewhere in another country. And this guy got thrown in a Turkish mental institute prison. He escaped and went to Greece. And because the Greece and Turkey hate each other, he was like, I hate Turkey. And they welcomed him in, and he got back to America and all this kind of stuff. But the picture, they showed this on the video. They created the scene as he described it. And he said people were just out of their minds. And there was like a little room. And there was like some pillars in the room that helped support the structure. And he said the people, they would just be crazy talking, doing all this. And they would just walk in a circle and walk in a circle. And they'd do that every day, all day long. That's all they did. And that in my mind is what Paul's talking about this, is that we don't even know that we're living and breathing death and we're just walking in a circle and walking in a circle and walking. And every day we do the same thing and the same thing and the same thing and the same thing, right? Now, why do we do that? That's the question. Like, why are we dead in our trespasses and sins, and why do we continually walk around in them and seemingly can't get out of it? Well, Paul tells us. He tells us because he says there's an evil force at work. And he does that by describing these, by using these two phrases that start with following. He says we're following the course of this world and we're following the prince of the power of the air. Now, that word course means wicked authority. So you can put that in there. So we are following the wicked authority of the world. So the reason you and I are dead in our trespasses and sins is because we're following one who is wicked by nature, or a way of life that is wicked by nature. But more importantly, Paul goes into more detail because it's not just a benign, nebulous something. He says there's personality or there's beinghood behind it, because we're not just following some nebulous thing out there in the world or some nebulous evil force, but we're following a very evil person, because he names this person the prince of the power of the air, or as he would call him later, the evil one, or as other people would write, the devil, or as we know him, Satan. And so why did we do what we did? Because we were following the evil one, the enemy. Satan, the devil, however you want to phrase that. And so as we were following after him, we did what he did. Right? And what is the evil one, what does the enemy do? Continually tries to dissuade, thwart, and stop the work of God in the hearts and lives of people. And we were doing that to our own selves and didn't even know it. But here's this interesting little tidbit that we could fly over if we're not careful. Look at this last little phrase in verse number 2. It says, the Spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Did you see the change of tense, of verb tense there? What did Paul say? You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. But look at the change. The Spirit that is, that's present tense, is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Here's what Paul is saying, real quick. Don't miss this. He's saying he was at work in your life now. He's still at work in other people's lives right now. Let's not be fooled. Let's not be fooled, friends. The devil is still at work in the hearts and lives of people. Many of the people that we call family and friends. Many of the people that we're co-workers with. Right? Many of the people in our community who live just a stone's throw from our church, or your neighbors or my neighbors, the devil is still influencing their lives in a mighty way. Now, just in case, I know y'all are great following along and y'all are taking all this in, but just in case you're still a little unconvinced that you were dead in your trespasses and sins and that you were following the prince of the power of the air, Paul, knowing that, gives us two symptoms that occurred in all of our lives that reveal that we were truly dead in our trespasses and sins. And he does that in verse number 3, where he says, look at the words, among whom we all once lived, and look at this word, in the passions of our flesh. I love that word, passions. It's not a good word, but it's a cool word. The word, I know it sounds really weird, right? But you'll understand. The word passions is a compound word. That means it's made of two separate words that writers have put together to make a one word. All right, so the first part of the word is really easy. It means on, O-N, on. The second half of the word means to well up, or to boil, actually, to boil inside. Now, let me give you the picture because it's super specific, okay? So follow along. I want you to imagine your mind that you are at home and you have put water in a pot and you have turned it on and it is boiling. All right, everybody got that picture in your mind? The word passions means, remember, it means to well up or to boil. But it does not refer to what is actually boiling. So it does not refer to the water. All right, you following with me? Nor does it refer to the cause of the boiling, the fire or the burner on your stove. So the question is, well, what does it refer to then? Listen to me. It's very specific. It refers to the process that is going on inside of the water that is making it pop up and bubble and blah, 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 and produce steam. It is referring to the, of course, they probably wouldn't have phrased it this way, but this is the way I'll phrase it for us. It is referring to the chemical reaction that is causing the O2 molecules to run around and scurry and to eventually release and let the oxygen up. That's what it refers to, all right? So by the time Paul puts this word into, listen to me, now we're all adults in the room, so don't go in a second when I tell you the way it's used in the New Testament. By the time Paul gets this word and places it here in Ephesians and the New Testament writers get it, it refers to that process of that welling up that is insatiable and longing and craving that we all fulfill outside of God's will, specifically referring to when we fulfill it with food or sex. It is that internal longing and insatiable desire that we fulfill outside of God's will. Then he follows it up with this word desires. The word desires could easily be translated will. Will. And so what Paul is showing us is that the two symptoms that we were dead in our trespasses and sins is that we have these inner cravings or desires to fulfill these things in our life, and it's different for all of us, to fulfill these things in our life outside of the will of God. And not only did we have them on the inside, but we willed to do them on the outside. You get it? They welled up inside of us on the inside, and then we acted on them on the outside. Now look, I don't need anybody to raise your hand because I already know the answer. I knew the answer when I typed it up this week. Anybody have that happen before? Sure, we all have. No need to nod, no need to raise your hand because we've all been there, right? We've all had this longing on the inside and then fulfilled it on the outside in a way that was outside of the will of God, right? That is a symptom of deadness. A symptom of deadness. So I told you we got these three ideas, right? We were walking dead people. There's an evil force at work. We have some symptoms of deadness. And so I'm going to kind of package that all into one little phrase you can take home with you. Everybody ready? Here we go. We were far from God on the inside and the outside. We were far from God on the inside and the outside. Thankfully, Paul doesn't put a period at chapter 2, verse 3 and kind of be like, well, hey, oh well. Because one of the greatest two words in the entire Bible come in chapter 4, or verse 4, that we'll talk about next week, when it says, but God, being rich in mercy. when you were dead in your transgressions and sin, where you trespassed and sin, you know, redeemed you, saved you. And Paul goes through this litany of the next few verses of all that God's done for us in saving us out of our deadness. And we'll talk about that next week. But before we leave here today, I think we would be remiss if we don't see how we can take this. And you may have already figured this out, but I want to give you a couple ideas of how you can, how this should apply to our lives, what we've talked about today, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, that there's an evil force at work in the world, and that there are symptoms of that deadness that occurred past tense in our life, right? So I want to give you three ideas of conclusion or application. The first two are going to be perspectives I think you should live with. So, or maybe a worldview that should be a part of your worldview. Remember, worldviews are like glasses. They help you see the world, and they figure out how you see the world. And depending on what glasses you have, or for those of you who wear contacts, you can think of a contacts you put in, it changes the way you view the world, right? So the first two are perspectives. The last one, or the third one, is going to be an encouragement for those of us who are believers of how we should live. Here's the first perspective I think we got to have out of this passage. If we were dead, listen to me, if we were dead, there's still dead people now. Jordan Peterson, I've kind of grown to like him. He says, the tragedy of history is that when we read history, we always assume we would be the oppressed and never the oppressor. That's his quote. Now I want to Christianize that just for a little bit, for a moment this morning. The tragedy of, for those of us who have been Christ followers for any length of time, some of us have been Christ followers for decades, many decades. Some of us for a few decades, for a few years. But if we're not careful, the tragedy of Christianity is that we always view ourselves as saints and forget that we were once sinners. Yeah. Right? And you know what happens when we walk out in the world? We're blown away when sinners do sinners' stuff.
That's right.
Like, we're blown away that people lie, cheat, and steal, and riot, and burn down cities, and do all that. Why? They're only doing what they know to do. And you can say, well, they're paid, and they're this, and they're that. Okay, I get all that. Maybe so. Let's deal with that. But why would you do that if you're alive on the inside? I didn't see, have you, I don't know, maybe it's not in my Bible. But I didn't see Jesus going around tearing the place down. Wait, Pastor, but he cleansed the temple. Wait a minute. Meet me after church. We'll talk about that. Right? Dead people do dead people stuff. You know how I know that? Because I did that. I don't even need to look at your life. I did dead people stuff before Christ saved me. I did lawless, bad things before Christ saved me, and so did you. And so why would we think that dead people are miraculously not going to do dead people stuff today? Come on, guys. But here's the other side of that. Here's the other perspective. Listen to me. We'll talk about this more next week. If Christ redeemed me, Christ can redeem them as well.
That's right.
Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm going to be real with you this morning. There was a few weeks ago, I don't even know where it was at, but man, it was late one night, and I got the black hole of YouTube got me. Y'all ever got the black hole of YouTube? Like, it is like a black hole. It just sucks you in. I was in it, and I was watching all of these, and you know, hey, no joke, serious, like all seriousness. I don't really say you should watch a lot of shows on TV because, you know, we all have preferences. But if you have Netflix and you have not watched the program, the documentary, The Social Dilemma, you need to. It will change your life. Literally. Like 17 minutes in, I wanted to throw my phone in the toilet and go get a flip phone. No joke. You need to watch it. Because they pick, you know, like they, you don't, you think you pick what you watch, but they pick what you watch. So anyway, so I was in the black hole. They were picking what I want to watch. And all of these like rioter videos were coming up. I mean, it was one after the other. I don't know where they were at. They were burning stuff down, beating up people, hitting cops, stealing stuff, breaking windows. And man, I'm telling you what, my blood pressure was like 1,000 over 1,000. I mean, I was like, and in that moment, you know what I wanted to do? Can we get a plane and just go nuke them all? Just Can we drop, what's it called, a Moab bomb, you know? Can we just go in there to some of these places and just go, be like, hey, look at there, we're done with that now. In my mind, that's terrible, right? I mean, I know that's awful, but in my flesh in that moment, that welling up that we'll talk about in just a minute, it welled up in a bad way. Because in that moment, I was like, the easy solution is just, hey, let's just, right, and be done with it. But what I failed to realize is, you know what, if Jesus did something in my heart, then Jesus can do something in that person's heart too. And in the moment when I was enraged, I failed to remember that they're only doing what dead people do. And the reason I'm not doing that today is because Jesus has saved me and redeemed me on the inside. And if He did that for me, He can do that for you. So that coworker that you have, that's like gets on your very last nerve every single day, who does dead people stuff, Jesus can save that person. Two perspectives. If you were dead, there's other people who are dead. If there's hope for you, there's hope for others. Now here's the last one, and this is an encouragement. And it is encouragement to be careful. To be careful. Remember that word passions that we talked about a minute ago? It's that welling up inside that leads us to fulfill these desires in an ungodly way. Well, in the Greek literature, that word for passion and the word for spirit, heard that word before in church, right? As in the Holy Spirit, are very close. Very close. In application, the difference is who is behind them. And if we're not, listen to me, you say, well, why do we need to be careful? But here's why. If we're not careful, the welling up that is inside of us will lead us, instead of leading us, let me go this way, instead of us leading us toward God over here, that welling up will be instead leading us away from God over here. And what I mean is, we'll be exchanged, because the feeling is the same. I mean, let's be honest with you. The feeling is the same. Like that night when it was, is the same feeling when we're in here worshiping and singing and getting our, the feeling is the same. The difference is who's creating and making the feeling, making the molecules in your life move to action. And one of them, passions, is going to lead you away from God, and the Spirit is going to lead you to God. And if we're not careful, we'll exchange the Spirit for passions, because it creates the same feeling. What we need to do is be careful and see the difference between the two. Right? There is a welling up that leads us to God. That's why we serve, and that's why we act, and that's why we share our faith, and that's why we read our Bible, and that's why we sing, and we give, and we praise. But there's also this side that leads to a very, very dark place, if we're honest. So Christian, if you're in here today, be careful. You don't want to be fooled by your feelings, right? Feelings are fickle. Right. Feelings will lead you to some bad places. And if you're just running, listen to me, if you're just running off feelings, you will have a very hard time distinguishing the spirit from the passions. But if we allow, let me tie this all up, we're about to go home. If we allow who we are in Christ to impact our daily life so that we have spiritual eyes, like we talked about last week, we will be able to tell the difference between the two. All right? So, application. If we were dead, there's other people. If there's hope for us, there's hope for others. Be careful that you know the difference between passions and the Spirit. Because we all want to be, as Paul says later in Ephesians, filled with the Spirit. All right, so we'll come out of the pit next week as we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through following. You can read that in your spare time this week. But today, we can't leave today without having a response time. And so I'm going to ask you in a minute after I get through praying to respond in any way that you see necessary. If you want to come down and pray, come down and pray. If you want to pray in your seat, pray in your seat. We're going to have a song that's playing overhead, a song that you may or may not know. That's cool if you don't. If you want to sit there silently, that's fine too. My only ask is the same thing I ask you every single week, which is simply this. Do not leave this morning without doing business with the Lord. What I mean by that, is make sure that you and God are on the same page. And whatever is inside of you right now, that's in your mind, in your heart, that you know, hey, I need to do that. Don't leave here without doing that this morning. All right? Pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your goodness and kindness. Lord, you are a wonderful, amazing, awesome God. And Lord, we are not worthy of your of who you are and what you do in our lives. But Lord, we are asking that you would move in us this morning. Lord, that we would now put to action what we've heard, what we've sung. Lord, all that you've brought into our mind, Lord, I pray that we would act on it so that we may know you more and may be closer following you so that people can see Jesus in us this week. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.